It's the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be pod smacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
And here is episode number 167 of the Rob Carson Show podcast. Glad to have you with me. We are on iTunes. We are on iHeartRadio. We are on TuneIn, Google Plus, and several, and YouTube. And YouTube as well. And of course, let's not forget the Podcast Radio Network. I want to say just something real quick to the listeners on the Podcast Radio Network. You guys kick ass. I started doing my show on the Podcast Radio Network about a month and a half ago. Went from zero to the number two most listened show on the Podcast Radio Network. 350,000 or so of you listen on a monthly basis in August. My show was second rated. Thank you. Now, will you do all of the shows a favor? Will you share on social media? Will you tell people about this? I want you to think about this real quick. If you've ever considered doing radio, or maybe in college you did college radio, and you love the freedom of it, the ability to play songs that weren't auditorium tested by guys in suits, the ability to say what you really felt without doing wacky, stupid bits, you know? It's an amazing thing. You are hearing freedom like you've never heard it, because this is not bridled by the FCC. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to say anything. I'm not into obscenity, you know, just because it's just not my deal. I mean, I curse like a sailor. And a lot of times you're just not going to hear it on the show. Occasionally you will, because sometimes some things in the world really piss me off. And sometimes some words are very appropriate. But I want to thank you guys, Podcast Radio Network listeners, please share on social media. Let's blow this thing up. Let's get hundreds of thousands of listeners for each one of the shows. And remember that my show is on weeknights, 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 5 o'clock Central. Thanks for listening. By the way, I am on Facebook at Rob Carson Show, Twitter at Rob Carson, and you can write me personally. And I'm saying this to all you guys, carsonontheradio@gmail.com. carsonontheradio@gmail.com. I do the show out of Kansas City, Missouri, and Dr. Alex Nelson is the sponsor of my show. And this is a great chiropractic practice and a great guy as well. Fountainoflifechiro.com is the website. They're on North Congress Avenue in Kansas City. If you're here and you've got shoulder pain or carpal tunnel or neuropathy or hip pain or knee pain, or like I do, occasionally throw out my sciatic and my lower back, which is awful, and I'm bedridden. When it happens, I'm bedridden. Go see him, will you? Decompression for herniated low back discs. Might be able to skip the opioid pain meds that so many prescribe. Go get fixed, all right? Fountainoflifechiro.com, the number 816-741-4711, 816-741-4711. All right, I'm going to start off with some good news. Baseball season is coming to a close. Depending on where you are, it's been a really long season. Or a really, really cool season. One of the cool things, I'm glad for the Cleveland Indians. The Cleveland Indians, whose names probably will have to be changed eventually. Although they are considering getting rid of the mascot, I guess, is what they're considering getting rid of. They have won their 21st game in a row. That's an all-time record. All right? That's spectacular. Here's the final call.
From making history are the 2017 Cleveland Indians. Allen into the motion, the wind and the pitch. Swung and ripped to left. Chisenhall coming on. Slides, he made the catch. Ball game. And mark it down, folks. History on September 13th of 2017. The Cleveland Indians have set a new American League record, winning their 21st consecutive ball game.
I love baseball history, man. I mean, I'm not into it. I just love it when it happens. All right, and when you witness it, it's just cool. Like when the Cubs won, it was historic. Now the Cubs won 21 consecutive games back in 1935, but they're in the National League tonight. Which is, by the way, it's Thursday night, the 14th. If the Indians win against the Royals in Kansas City, and nothing against my Royals, but their season's over. I kind of hope that the Indians win and they get 22. I think that'd be really, really cool. All right, some other things. The hand-in-hand telethon, did you see that? I didn't watch it. And one of the reasons why I didn't watch it was that I am a libertarian leaning conservative, and I felt like I was being insulted by some of the people on the telethon, and, because it became very political. It became really, really political in a big hurry. The positive is they raised $44 million. All right. So they $44 million altogether is pretty good. 15.7 million watched the show on the networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. So that's great. I mean, don't get me wrong. We got $44 million. J.J. Watt's solo effort has raised $33 million. That's pretty wild, isn't it? That's pretty wild. Here is a little bit of the telethon and its political bent, and then Neil Cavuto responding to it.
Anyone who believes that there is no such thing as global warming must be blind or unintelligent.
During a time where it's impossible to watch the news without seeing violence or racism in this country.
Over the past year, many of us have been frustrated. We've been bombarded with images and news of hate and division.
What does any of that have to do with just raising money? And it's a good cause, raise money for hurricane victims in Texas and Florida, by extension, Louisiana, you know, after Irma, after Harvey. Does any of this other stuff serve any purpose?
It doesn't. You know what it does? It serves the purpose of having people like me tune it out and say to hell with you. That's what it's all about. I had heard somebody yesterday say, you know, the raising money for Florida and Texas, both of those states went for Trump, which is kind of ironic. But I don't like being told by Stevie Wonder that I don't believe this bull crap, climate change, which used to be global warming, which isn't happening. I don't believe it. And he says I'm either blind or stupid. So what the hell does that have to do with anything? Why did this have to happen? It's just irritating. I saw a great piece in the UK Daily Mail. And they actually believe in global warming or climate change or whatever it's going to be next year. They compared, you know, by Beyonce was there, Justin Bieber, George Clooney, Cher, Leo DiCaprio. And how much, I mean, they live the high life, right? These people fly in private jets. They have multiple mansions. Their carbon footprint is much bigger than yours and I's. So I don't know how committed they are to this. Or if they're typical, let them eat cake liberals. You little people can have poison light bulbs and drive crappy cars. And we are above you. That's the feeling I get. In fact, I know that's how they feel. Justin Bieber is calculated to have traveled at least 136,000 miles in a plane over the last year. DiCaprio, 87,000. George Clooney, 61,000. Clooney, just with the flying alone, 10.3 tons of CO2 burned. Cher appears to have flown within the U.S. in a total of 6,546. DiCaprio, 87,000, 14.8 tons of carbon dioxide, which is causing global warming and making hurricanes worse. But that's okay. Beyonce, only about 4.5 tons of CO2 burning. Biggest culprit is Bieber. Yeah, he's burning a lot of metric tons of carbon. DiCaprio. He flew around 87,609 miles on various business trips and jaunts around the world this year. 14.8 tons of carbon dioxide. So, you know, they are hypocritical, man. You either live it or you don't. Same goes for Al Gore. Al Gore has two mansions. His carbon footprint has actually gone up on both of them since an Inconvenient Truth came out. Bree Payton is a conservative commentator. She appeared on Fox News talking about the celebrities and their smugness.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who knows anything knows that it's a bad idea to insult the people that you're trying to get money from, and insulting half of the country, right, who happen to have voted for Donald Trump, right, including many of the victims in Texas and in Florida that were the hardest hit.
I wonder how much they could have raised if they hadn't just insulted every Trump supporter.
By these hurricanes, I mean, this is just a really dumb idea. And it also makes them look very hypocritical and makes their motivations for participating in the telethon look suspect, right?
Yeah. You know why they participate? Because they want to be seen participating.
I mean, what was their real reason for doing this? Was it really to raise money for these victims, or was it to use this big platform as a way to push what they wanted to say in their political agenda?
I don't think they did that. I just think that happened. But I think that the reason they appear on these things is so they can see, be seen appearing on these things. Congratulations, Oprah. You sat at a phone bank for 2 hours.
Yeah. And I mean, this is the same kind of smug attitude that we saw all throughout the election, right? Which is that celebrities think that they have to tell Americans what is good for them, right? They think that they have to tell them what their political opinions should be in order for them to know it. And I mean, it's very clear that them using this platform, which is otherwise a very good thing, right? I mean, it's a good thing to raise money for hurricane Absolutely. Victims.
Did you ever see Jerry Lewis in the Labor Day telethon? Did he ever get political?
Lives have been devastated by these terrible tragedies, but it's a very bad thing to twist that into pushing their own political.
I've hosted a bunch of telethon, Easter Seal telethon. I've done radiothons. Nah, no politics.
Political opinion, right? And it just goes to show you how smug and self-important they are, that they think that hijacking this event in order to push their own political agenda and push their own opinions, I mean, that goes to show you just the same smug attitude that we have seen over and over and over again.
Yeah, and then they go to their mansions and they live there. And they would never invite you up for dinner, by the way. They would never have you in the, you know, they'll allow you to do a selfie on the red carpet if you're lucky. Wouldn't have anything to do with you. I do want to get to some audio from Hillary Clinton. I want to get to some audio from Sarah Huckabee Sanders, but I like to mix it up, the political and the non-political, because, you know, there's a lot of other things going on in the world other than politics. Professional clown claims his business in and around New York City has dropped off because of marketing for the horror movie It. John Nelson runs Clowns in Town with a partner. Says his business has gotten several cancellations in the past couple of weeks. Planning the supernatural horror movie, or blaming, I should say, the supernatural horror movie for scaring the public. He says, last week, my partner and I had 6 cancellations of birthday parties. I've had reports from other clowns in New York and other cities. They've been canceled as well. And it is. And there's scary billboards with the clown up there. They're going to rally outside of Union Square Regal Cinema Thursday evening. I don't blame people who are into clowning. They take it, oddly enough, they take it seriously. As much as 2% of the population said they have a fear of clowns called coulrophobia. There you go. Well done, Ron. And I think that it's fashionable to be afraid of clowns. Do we drink with them? Oh, my God, I'm afraid of clowns, too. No, really not. I'm not afraid of clowns. And clowns aren't all creepy and everything. I'm reading this article. There's a long historical and psychological run-up to the increasing association of clowns as sinister. Started with John Wayne Gacy, serial killer from Chicago. Like to dress as a clown. That's where I think it started. So, what it's worth. It is a bad thing. Hey, I remember when I was a kid, we'd go to Ringling Brothers. We didn't think twice about it. I wonder when they go to the protest tonight in front of the theater, if they'll just take one car. I have a feeling they will. All right, that was obvious. ESPN has become increasingly political. I think it really, well, it's been pretty much political all the time. Keith Olbermann, very, very political. He's no longer working for anybody because he's such an a-hole. But Jameel Hill is a female, I guess, sports pundit, whatever. I don't watch ESPN. But she said some pretty rude things on Twitter. She called Donald Trump a white supremacist, unfit to be president. She also, by the way, put up a badge of a police officer next to a badge of a slave patrol and said they're basically the same. The channel has apparently distanced itself from her comments. Well, really, not really. Yesterday, Sarah Sanders, spokesman for the White House, was asked about whether Jameel Hill should be fired.
Yeah, I just wanted to read a comment from a influential African-American sportscaster from ESPN yesterday who said, Donald Trump is a white supremacist who has largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. His rise is a direct result of white supremacy, period. He's unqualified and fit to be president. Why do you think, do you have a reaction to that? Is the president aware of that comment? And
I'm not sure if he's aware, but I think that's one of the more outrageous comments that anyone could make, and certainly something that I think is a fireable offense by ESPN.
If the president was so clear, as you said, why do you think influential African-American figures are saying things like that?
Because they're liberal. That's why they're saying it. And when was she influential? I want to know. I just heard of her. It's political. That's it. If it were anybody else in the White House with a D in front of their name, there would be no white supremacy. They pulled this stuff on George Bush. They put him with a Hitler mustache on posters. He was a Nazi. It's purely political. That's what's driving it. It's not about her skin color. It's about her politics.
I'm going to speak for that individual, but I know that the president has met, again, with people like Senator Scott, who are highly respected leaders in the African-American community. He's committed to working with them to bring the country together. I think that's where we need to be focused, not on outrageous statements like that one.
She's filled with hate. She's angry that Hillary lost the election. And that's the meme. That's the thing that's going around. We've gone from, you're a racist. That's not ringing anymore. It's falling on deaf ears. Now it's gone to, white privilege and now white supremacy. And now you're a Nazi. And I don't know where you go from here. She apparently, I guess, apologized. It says, this is her apology. Listen to this. My comments on Twitter expressed my personal beliefs. My regret is that my comments and the public way I made them painted ESPN in an unfair light. My respect for the company and my colleagues remains unconditional. That's not an apology. That is a passive-aggressive swipe at the president while appearing to apologize. You know, it's up to ESPN if they want to fire. if they want that on their TV, great. I mean, good, you know. Let ESPN support that and see where it gets them. I don't believe in boycotting. I'm not gonna boycott CNN. I just don't watch it. it just happens that I don't watch. Yes, I'm a dude and I don't watch ESPN. I don't have time to. I don't have time to. Hillary Clinton had a bunch of just interesting things to say. She's been all over the news lately. We're gonna get some audio. She was asked. About her run and what would have happened if she'd won.
Did you underestimate the way that your familiarity with the American public could negatively impact your campaign?
Well, I thought it was pretty revolutionary that I was the first woman to have a realistic chance of becoming president.
How is that revolutionary? You ran before. You've been in the public eye for 30 years.
So I don't know how any woman who is not familiar to people, since we have so many hurdles to overcome, could have even been in that position.
What hurdles? I mean, what hurdles? There are more women in college today than there are men. In many fields, women are making much more than men. It's much harder to fire a woman, by the way. It's really hard to be to fire a woman. It is not hard at all. To fire a white dude. And I speak from experience.
Position that I found myself. So if I'd won, I would have been seen as a genius. My campaign would have been seen as perfect. I understand all of
that. No. It was expected. it was expected. Hillary Clinton was expected to win. She was expected to be coronated. So it wouldn't have been she was a genius. It would have been expected. I got a couple of things I want to share with you on Hillary's appearance with Anderson Cooper 360. A few weeks ago, I did a podcast called The Madness of Queen Hillary because she's blaming everybody, for her defeat. And the book is about blaming everybody for her defeat. And it's really, if you're willing to say that Donald Trump is mentally ill, then I should be willing to say Hillary Clinton has some real issues with the truth and has a real problem with responsibility.
In addition to the mistakes that I made, which I recount in the book, what about endemic sexism and misogyny, not just in politics, but in our society? What about...
There may be some of that, but it's not 1919.
The unprecedented action of the FBI director. What about the interference by an adversary nation to determine or tilt the outcome of our election? What about voter?
That's Russia.
Voter suppression. You know.
Voter suppression. Yeah. You know where there's voter suppression in cities like Philadelphia, where Black Panthers stood out in front of polling places in 2007.
Things that I think are just as important today as they were a year ago.
Unbelievable. Really, really unbelievable. Before we get into the Anderson Cooper stuff, I'll mention that New York Times reporter Yamiche Alcindor on Wednesday on Morning Joe said that said that a lot of people who voted for Hillary Clinton are still in therapy.
What was the intention of the book, do you think?
I think the intention of the book was two things. One, it was to really, I think, just vent and get it out there because there are so many people like Hillary Clinton who are still writing about this, who are still thinking about this, who are still in therapy, frankly, the sources that I know who are still really upset about
it. You know, I was very upset that Barack Obama was elected both times. I was proud that the country elected a black man, just not that black guy. I never had to up my bets.
The election. And I think the other thing was to really lay out how the way forward. The issue with that being that she's going after Bernie Sanders, and she's saying in some ways that Bernie Sanders and other people that are supporters of him, that they need to join the party. And I think that while, yes, it might be.
Okay, that's enough of that. Basically, she's saying that people are still in therapy, and she's speaking from experience. She's saying that she knows people still in therapy. Wow. I've got a T-shirt on my swag line. I've got T-shirts, hoodies, all this. It's on a website called teepublic.com, teepublic.com. Look for conservatees with two E's, conservatees. Also, you can see it on my Facebook page as well. You got a shirt there that says, she lost, he won, get over it. Also, there's some other ones there. There's one that says, my kid is not a snowflake. Yeah, some stuff like that. Politically incorrect stuff. Politically incorrect stuff, but fun. Oh, I do have to play Matt Lauer's sycophantic questioning during the Today Show, talking about Hillary's book. Listen to this question. This is beautiful.
People are using words to describe this book that they don't normally use in association with you. Unrestrained, very candid. People say you've taken your political straitjacket off and been unleashed a little bit to say what you really wanted to say.
Oh, boy.
Did you view it as a historic document? Or did you view it as kind of a literary version of a cleanse for you?
Oh, boy. You know what a cleanse involves? do you know what comes out when you get a cleanse? Well, that's not saying very good things about her book. Do you consider this a literary cleanse? Okay, I'll just say it. Your book is shit. It's what he essentially said there. Is that it's a literary? It's wow. So her book is a literary bowel movement, essentially, is what he's saying. Come on, am I right? I think I'm right. Oh, I want to mention another one of our sponsors, GrassMonstersKC.com. Grass Monsters KC, they sell American-made mowers, and they're wonderful mowers. They sell Hustlers made in Kansas, Dixie Choppers made in Indiana, and they're American-made. They last forever. They have industrial mowers. They have residential mowers. They're amazing. You got to go see them. They are so much better than those things chained up outside of the big box stores. Once you look at a Dixie Chopper, once you look at a Hustler, and then you go sit on one of those mowers outside of the big box store, you're going to go, this is a piece of crap. It's made of garbage. Go see them. Check out GrassMonstersKC.com, GrassMonstersKC.com, 5520 Raytown Road, Raytown Mo. A little more from Hillary. Here she is talking about yoga to defeat, help her with her defeat and getting over it. This is with Anderson Cooper.
It seems like you've been doing a lot of yoga.
Yes, and alternate nostril breathing.
Well, I wanted to
ask you. Have you tried that?
Page 27
no.
In your book, you talk about alternate nostril breathing.
Yes.
What is that? And dare you give me a demonstration
of
that?
Well, I would highly recommend it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you're supposed to shut your eyes. I don't want to shut my eyes on national television. But, you know, you do hold and you breathe through one and you hold it and then you exhale through the other and you keep going.
Wow.
I can only say, based on my personal experience, that if you're sitting cross-legged on the yoga mat.
Just not a good image there.
And you're doing it, and you're really trying to.
Can she cross her legs seriously with those thighs? Come on.
Inhale and hold it, and then have a long exhale.
Not really.
It is very relaxing. So I don't know if you can do it in the middle of hurricane coverage, but maybe some other moments.
I can't do it. I've got a deviated septum. So here's one nostril. Here's the other. Well, you can't really tell. But one of them is not as clear as the other one. Here she is, Hillary, talking about how she will not forgive and does not forgive people who did not vote.
What's more common are people bursting into tears, welling up. I had a lot of that at my book signing.
Do you give absolution to those who didn't vote, to women who didn't vote?
No, I don't. I when it first started happening, it was so soon after the election, and the election was so bizarre and close. It was hard for me to, you know, comfort somebody who was coming to me and saying, oh, I wish I'd done more, or I'm sorry I didn't vote. Because I think this was one of the most consequential elections that, you know, we have faced in a long time. So no absolution, but of course, you know, I just hope people will take what happened this time seriously and be ready and willing to vote the next time.
Okay. So she doesn't want to forgive people. I'm sorry I didn't vote. Why would you tell somebody that? I don't know. No, and then she's against the Electoral College, by the way.
I said that in 2000. After what happened to the 2000 election with Al Gore. I was elected to the Senate that same year. And if you look at our recent history, we've had several candidates, nominees, who have won the popular vote and lost the Electoral College. What does that say? And it says that an anachronism that was designed for another time no longer works.
Nope.
We've moved toward one person, one vote. That's how we select winners.
Nope.
So I think it needs to be eliminated. I'd like to see us move beyond it. Yes.
No, because here's the thing. If you look at the electoral map of the United States, flyover country would be meaningless. Your voices, if you live in flyover country, would be meaningless. That's why the Electoral College exists. Because of the bookends on either side of the country that have these masses of populations that are largely like thinkers. That's why. So you guys in coal country would be represented. Yeah, you guys in farm country could be represented. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Oh, a non-political, apparently, Larry King revealed yesterday that he has lung cancer.
I have a checkup every year. I've gone through a lot in my life. You know, I had a heart attack and heart surgery. And so I get my checkup every year, and part of the checkup is a chest x-ray. And then the doctor says, I see a little spot here. Let's do a CAT scan. So they do a CAT scan. He said, let's do a PET scan. And he says, well, you have a small cancer. It could be malignant, could be benign. And we ought to take it out. They took it out. It was malignant. But they were going to take it out, whether it was malignant or benign. They tested, and they said, you're fine. It was stage one.
He got lucky. He got lucky. And they've got a thing they call a cyber knife, also something they use. It's a targeted radiation. Here he is talking about how he used to smoke a lot.
I know you smoked for a long time, right? How long did you smoke?
I smoked for 30 years, from age 18, 17, wow, to age 53. Tell you the truth, the day of the heart attack, I never smoked again.
Really?
And I smoked 3 packs a day.
Hold on a second. Rewind. 60 cigarettes a day. So when you say you're a smoker, 3
smoker.
Packs.
I smoked in the shower.
Jeez. Well, you know, that's not uncommon for people his generation. Starting when they were kids. My dad, he passed away of a smoking-related illness in 1994. He was 72 years old. He looked 100. And he started when he was 15 or 16 years old. He's a World War II veteran, by the way. Yeah, it sucks. And unfortunately, if you've smoked, you never know when it's going to pop up. And it may never pop up, right? Don't start. Okay. So apparently a Francis Scott Key monument in Baltimore was defaced. Racist anthem sprayed on it. And this is what's happening all over the country. You've got in New York, there was a Christopher Columbus statue that was vandalized, and apparently on the ground around the moment, the monument was the third stanza that nobody sings, and it says, no refuge could save hireling or slave from terror or flight or gloom of grave. And that's apparently racist. It involves slaves escaping to the north, and if the south won, they would be returned. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, here's the Baltimore Sun did some interviews on site, asked mostly people of color about the vandalization of the monument.
Well, my reaction to this was actually one of amazement, actually, because I didn't think, honestly, that Key would
result in desecration, because when we think of Francis Scott Key, the only thing that comes to mind is the national anthem. And obviously, most people are not familiar with the anthem's third stanza, which makes a direct reference to blacks who are trying to escape behind from there.
And most people wouldn't understand it. All right. What is this? What is this? This 100 and whatever year old, or more than that, 200 and some year old. No refuge could save hireling or slave from terror or a flight or gloom of grave. Oh, this is about the War of 1812. I apologize. I said Civil War. The War of 1812. That's what it's all about. Nobody would have understood it anyway.
Condition of servitude, most likely behind British lines.
And by the way, if you've ever been to Fort McHenry in Baltimore, you should go. And I refuse not to tear up or feel emotional when I hear the national anthem. And somebody said, you know, when these players, these football players kneel or sit during the anthem, they said, do you stand at home during the anthem? Well, yeah, we do. When we hang out with our friends, we stop everything we're doing and we stand and we hear the national anthem. That's it.
During the War of 1812. So, and more or less, the stanza is saying, but you try to escape or not, no likelihood, you're going to be captured and you're going to come back to where you were. We don't use the third stanza. We only use the first. I think, though I can certainly understand people's frustrations with slavery and any honoring individuals.
Now, this was an African-American man, by the way.
Promulgated the institution. I think that it sends a bad message overall, that it's okay to desecrate monuments in the public square, which may not be directly pointing at we glorify slavery.
Thank you very much, Voice of Reason. Here's another man who enjoys taking his kid to this park, and then a social justice warrior.
Horrible. I bring my son up here all the time to come and sit, you know, and watch the waterfall down the street, and I think it's horrible. I really think it's horrible. I love looking at this on my way to work every morning.
But this is, there's no truth in this. There's a celebration of people who literally owned people that looked like me, who treated people that looked like me as property, as cattle, whose lives didn't matter. So I think that this is absolutely important that we constantly disrupt this narrative.
Okay. Social justice warrior, never experienced anything like this in her life. Wants to erase history to her liking. That's basically it. Got plenty of stuff coming up. Kmart is rebranding plus-size clothing. The Hallelujah Chorus is under fire in the school. John Cleese has some brilliant things to say about political correctness. I mean, really good stuff. And what percentage of us as adults sleep with teddy bears? All of that coming up. Want to mention, again, one of my sponsors, foundoflifecairo.com, Dr. Alex Nelson. If you're having issues with your back or your neck, maybe you're sleeping on a pillow that's too thick. Maybe you've got headaches. Maybe you've got neuropathy, which sucks. I've got it. Carpal tunnel. All of these things can be helped. Dr. Alex Nelson takes care of athletes, professionals, cops, firefighters, first responders. They're on Congress Avenue in Kansas City, 816-741-4711, 816-741-4711. Also, again, I want to say hi to the listeners on the podcast radio network. If you weren't listening earlier, this show on the podcast radio network went from zero to the second most listened to show on the podcast radio network. Every night you can hear this during the week at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and 5 o'clock Central. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Please share on social media. Let's blow this thing up. Big box retail Kmart. Their rebranding plus size section is fabulously sized. So you are no longer. It's no longer a plus size. It's a fabulously sized. Wow. Kelly Cook, Kmart's chief marketing officer, told Women's Wear Daily that the retail chain wanted to get in on the body positivity movement. Okay. And I'm fine with that. That's fine. This decision was heavily influenced by the fact that there's a solid trend on the market around diversity promotion and body positivity, a big body positive focus in the teen and millennial markets. Okay. plus size now, fabulously sized, generally starts at any size above 14 to 16. And they're going to get rid of plus size labels on swimwear and underwear products. But guys, I think guys would like plus sized underwear. You know, look, I'm wearing plus sized underwear. I wonder what that could mean. So, okay. Just real quick, and I'm going to say from someone who has struggled with his weight on and off his entire life, there were no plus-size male models. Did you ever notice that? No fat guys. No, even maybe a few dad bods. Maybe, but only if it's a commercial that involves a dad, and usually he's a dork. But there are no plus-size male models. I'm just saying. You know, there's some guys who struggle with it too. Just a little bit. Not asking for your sympathy. Not asking for your sympathy. Although I will tell you, I've been on a diet half of my damn life. So apparently, the Freedom From Religious Foundation has a problem with this song.
Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
So the Freedom From Religion Foundation, East Tennessee chapter, has gone after a Linden Elementary School. Basically, what happened was apparently a little bit of Handel's Messiah was played over the PA system during announcements. And they wrote a letter to Roger Ward, the principal of Oak Ridge Elementary, with a stern warning. It came from President Alida Leidendecker. Said that while this music may be beautiful and even inspirational for Christians, it is not acceptable for broadcasting to the entire student body at Linden Elementary. In consideration of all the possible choices of music, this piece, with its distinctly religious content, can be interpreted as proselytizing. Such actions are clearly prohibited by the First Amendment of the Constitution. No, they're not, actually. You are full of crap there. The Constitution says nothing about separation of church and state. It talks about establishment of a religion. According to a paper in the area, or no, the letter, I should say, please see that the music director makes appropriate choices for broadcasting to your student body beginning immediately. Well, the principal's saying bull crap. The principal will explain things to Leidendecker in a return email. Said our music teacher uses a historical basis in her classroom and as a part selects a composer of the week. Handel has been the composer that students are studying for the past 3 days and will continue to be the composer for the next two. Then he used Freedom From Religion Foundation's words against them. Now, this is where it gets kind of interesting. Leidendecker's email to the principal originally included the top 10 public school state slash church violations. Proselytizing via music is the top 10 spot. But Ward quoted from the Freedom From Religious Foundation's text to defend the selection of Hallelujah Chorus, specifically that courts considered that the proportion of religious songs sung compared to secular. The principal also noted, quoting from the Freedom From Religious Foundation's own text, that if a curriculum is balanced, the inclusion of some classical sacred music in an educational context may not convey endorsement. So basically said, screw you. And they should. It's a beautiful song. It is a beautiful song. New survey shows that 4 in 10 adults sleep with a teddy bear. Many of those bears are the same bears they kept from childhood. Okay. My wife sleeps with a pillow that she's had since childhood, and it is gross. It is flat as a friggin' pancake. It's like sleeping on a cutting board. Okay. More than half of people who participated in this study, which was by Build-A-Bear, of course, indicated that they currently own a stuffed animal. 40% indicated the toy joins them at bedtime. My wife has a bunch of those Vermont teddy bears. 56% of those polled said they've had their favorite stuffed animal since childhood. I had a tiger. My mom threw it away without telling me. I know. I'm walking wounded. 72% of respondents want to keep their stuffed animal forever. 75% of adults in the southern U.S. own such a toy. They're usually Beanie Babies. Compared to 72% of those in the Midwest, 70% of those in the Northeast states. So there you go. Hey, you got to have a whoopee. You got to have a whoopee. Oh, man, I've got a story. I've got the worst thing that could happen to you on a date story. This thing has gone viral. I'm going to share that in a few minutes. Did you hear about the poo tender date? Okay. I've got audio. It is, if you're a woman, this is the worst thing that could happen to you on a date, on a first date. Oh, my Lord. When you hear it, you're not going to believe it. John Cleese did an interview with Vulture in which he talked about the campus protests that are going on around this country, in England and whatnot, and political correctness, and why entertainers don't want to perform there anymore. Because there is a leftist think, and nothing else is allowed. And it's dangerous to the point, like today, Ben Shapiro is supposed to speak at Berkeley. And people are saying it's like an armed camp to prevent violence. Ridiculous. Here's a little bit from the great, by the way, John Cleese.
I'm offended every day. For example, the British newspapers every day offend me with their laziness, their nastiness, and their inaccuracy. But I'm not going to expect someone to stop that happening.
I see this. He makes a great point. Whatever happened, when did becoming offended, when did being offended become a capital offense?
Just simply speak out about it. You know, sometimes when people are offended, they want somebody to just come in and say, right, stop that, to whoever is offending them. And of course, as a former chairman of the BBC once said, there are some people one would wish to offend. And I think there's truth in that, too. So the idea that you have to be protected from any kind of uncomfortable emotion is one I absolutely do not describe.
That's fantastic. And this is coming from a guy who lives in a country without the First Amendment.
Subscribed to, and a fellow that I helped write to books about psychology and psychiatry. He was a renowned psychiatrist in London called Robin Skinner, said something very interesting to me. He said, if people can't control their own emotions, then they have to start trying to control other people's behavior.
That's exactly what is going on America's campus. That is succinct. That's perfect. People who can't control their emotions, and their rage and their anger and their disappointment with Donald Trump being elected president, they have to control the behavior of others. That is absolutely brilliant. More from the great John Cleese.
And when you're around super sensitive people, you cannot relax and be spontaneous because you have no idea what's going to upset them next.
That's why I could never talk politics with my liberal friends, because it just becomes an out of control situation.
And that's why I've been warned recently, don't go to most university campuses, because the political correctness has been taken from being a good idea, which is let's not be mean, particularly to people who are not able to look after themselves very well. That's a good idea, to the point where any kind of criticism of any individual or group can be labeled cruel.
Yeah. Or Nazis, or white supremacists. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening. Because now you can't shut somebody up by burning down buildings or setting cars on fire or wrecking storefronts. You can shut them down by calling them neo-Nazis. One more fantastic soundbite from John Cleese.
And the whole point about humor, the whole point about comedy, and believe you me, I've thought about this, is that all comedy is critical. Even if you make a very inclusive joke, like, how'd you make God laugh? Answer, tell him your plans. Now, that's about the human condition. It's not excluding anyone. It's saying we all have all these plans, which probably won't come. And isn't it funny how we still believe they're going to happen? So that's a very inclusive joke. It's still critical. All humor is critical. And if you start saying, we mustn't criticize or offend them, then humor's gone. With humor goes a sense of proportion. And then as far as I'm concerned, you're living in 1984.
Amen. Amen. Well said. This coming from someone who writes comedy for a living. One of the things that I do is I write comedy. Like, for instance, okay, all right, here, I've got it. I'm going to play a piece for you. Hold on one second here. I write a bunch of stuff. Here's a bit that I did about removal of statues from the public square. I just wrote this about a week ago. Removal of statues and erasing history. Here it is. The Mr. Clean Magic Eraser is known for removing the most difficult stains from walls, floors, or just about anywhere. But what about the stains on our country's history? Mr. Clean certainly won't let that stand, and that's why there's the Mr. Clean Magic History Eraser. Got a Confederate memorial? Simply use your Mr. Clean Magic History Eraser, and presto, it's gone! Everybody knows Christopher Columbus ushered in mass genocide. With Mr. Clean Magic History Eraser, it's like he never even lived. Got some offensive text in a history book? Mr. Clean will sanitize it like it's a freshly cleaned toilet. Mr. Clean Magic History Eraser uses patented ADWD technology. That's any dead white guy. It hones in on the dead white guy, targets and removes him, no discussion, no debate, no questions asked. And Mr. Clean Magic History Eraser even works at night on those statues in the courthouse square. And don't forget, he even works on holidays, like Columbus Day, and soon, maybe even Christmas. Mr. Clean Magic History Eraser. Mr. Clean Magic Inoffensive History Replacer, sold separately. There you go. All right. So replace the statues with SpongeBob, because nobody's offended by SpongeBob, right? All right, so there was a Tinder date that went wrong. This was in Great Britain. There's a guy named Liam. And apparently, the date that he had, they went back to his place and she went to the bathroom. Here's him telling the original story.
About an hour in, she got up to go to the toilet and she came back after a little while and she said, I don't know how to tell you this, Liam. I know it's really awkward, but I went to the toilets. It wouldn't flush and I panicked and I wrapped it up in toilet paper and I threw it out of your window. I said, you know, we'll get a plastic bag and we'll go out to the garden and deal with it. But unfortunately, that's...
So she it was too big to go down, so she grabbed a paper towel and threw it out the window.
And we discovered it was trapped between two windows.
Okay, so then it was trapped between the window panes. Oh, boy.
I can't imagine what was going through her head, but she dealt with it very, very well, I think. She was reaching in. She couldn't quite get there, so she put her kind of head and shoulders in and was trying to get inside. And I sort of, like, boosted her up to help her in.
Oh, yeah. God.
She did reach it, to be fair.
And then so she passed it back.
She did. We kind of launched it into the toilet. That was dealt with. She cannot get out, and I was pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling her hands, and we tried every which way.
Because did you tell them the whole story?
No, so I told them she dropped her phone. I think when I did the 999 call, I told her they dropped her phone.
Okay, so she got stuck in the window. Then they had to call 999, which is a British version of 911. This is a Seinfeld episode. This is Elaine. I mean, seriously, now he was asked by the host of the show that he was on this morning with Philip and Holly whether he'd like to see her again.
I think I'd certainly owe her a drink after all of this. I think I'd certainly owe her a nice drink and that. Yeah, so I think no matter what happens, I'm sure we'll definitely remain firm friends.
But if you...
Notice she's not making TV appearances.
Were to go out again and she was to come around and watch another documentary and then say, oh, I'll be back in just a moment. You'd be just going to strike fear into your heart.
Yeah, my heart would stop. I'd tell her to go to the upstairs bathroom.
And by the way, he did a GoFundMe to fix the window in his flat.
We've actually decided to split it between two charities. Half of it's going towards the firefighters charity, who provide emotional, psychological support to firemen.
And turd removal.
Or fire people who in difficulty. And the other half of the money is going to Toilet Twinning, which is a charity that builds flushing toilets in the developing world. 23 toilets we've built, I think, with the funding.
That is fantastic. So they're going to give money to charities that do flushable toilets in the third world. That's just spectacular. Wow. All right. Well, we got about one more story is what we're going to do. And that would be this year's finalists for the National Toy Hall of Fame. It's interesting. Godspeed. Hopefully we will all live long enough to have the toys from our childhood be admitted into the Hall of Fame. God willing, we all live long enough that the car manufactured in the year of your birth will have a vintage license plate. All right. National Toy Hall of Fame finalists this year. Paper airplanes. Hell yes. Matchbox cars. Why is it taking this long? My Little Pony. Bleh. The games Risk and Clue. The Wiffle Ball, the Magic 8 Ball, Pez Dispensers. Again, Why is it taken? Well, they're not really toys. They're candy. What a weird toy that you decapitate the character and its throat spits out candy. Fake food. Transformers. And Uno cards. How many hours have you played Uno? I've been playing with my daughter, and we like to play Uno, among other things. One or two of the toys get inducted each year. Last year's picks were Dungeons & Dragons, Fisher-Price, Little People. They did not get in. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Cardboard boxes inducted back in 2005. The stick made it back in 2008. So there you go. Guys, I hope you enjoyed it today. And again, I want to thank all of you who download the show on iTunes, iHeartRadio. Tune in. Watch it on YouTube or listen to it on YouTube. I do video versions occasionally on YouTube. You can check them out. Just look for Rob Carson Show. And certainly the fastest growing crowd is on the Podcast Radio Network. Thank you, Podcast Radio Network listeners. Please share on social media with everybody. All right? Because I think it's a terrific thing John Sweeney has done. He's the founder of it. He invited me to have my show on it, and he gave me a wonderful slot. 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 5 o'clock Central, right there on the Podcast Radio Network. So thanks, guys, and please share so we can make this thing grow. I want to thank FountainOfLifeCairo.com, FountainOfLifeCairo.com for being a sponsor. Also, GrassMonstersKC.com as well. All right? Again, I'm on Facebook at Rob Carson Show. I am on Twitter at Rob Carson. And you can write me personally at carsonontheradio@gmail.com. Okay, that's carsonontheradio@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. God bless. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.